Welcome to Earth Day 2012. I'm Richard Dugan, your host here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And I'm so thankful that you've decided to join us. If you're here on the Central Coast and maybe you're reveling or getting ready to revel in some of the activities in your particular community, there are revelers just a block north of me here at the parks, side-by-side parks, who are enjoying Earth Day. It's a beautiful, sunshiny day. A little warm up on the hill where I live, about 10, 15 degrees warmer. Not real excited about that, but it'll cool down when the sun goes down. So, you know, and I always remind myself when things like that happen that this, too, is temporary. This shall change in a few days. Whereas when I was living in Phoenix for the better part of my life, it would take months for it to change. And I basically said, I'm not willing to deal with that anymore. So that's why you find me here on the Central Coast. And here we are with Tell Me Your Story. And it is a program that comes your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, streaming live at richarddugan.com and newspress.com, as well as archiving the programs at richarddugan.com, the radio shows page. And we also are rebroadcast Sundays at 2 p.m. Pacific time on A2Zen.fm. So we encourage you to check out our guests, check out our archives, the resources that our guests have available on their various websites. It has been an interesting week, and of course, a lot of things are happening. I've heard some very unusual stories as far as nature is concerned, both on the news as well as personal stories that people have related to me. I had a friend who works in a medical facility, and one of the patients happened to come in who is a hunter and was up, and I can't even remember exactly where they were, but obviously where grizzly bears live, and began to show my friend a bunch of pictures of his kill. And she basically said to him, you probably don't know who you're even talking to. And it went right over his head, and he kept showing her the pictures. Then, of course, we heard about this whale off the coast of the Central Coast that got caught up in some nets, and they tried to, and I believe were successful in untangling those nets and allowing the whale to continue on its way. And we've also had stories of just nature taking its course and things happening here along the Central Coast in Santa Barbara, Goleta area. So natural things happen, and it's a part of life. It's just what is. It's neither good nor bad. It's just, you know, it's just what's happening. Today, what's happening is 50 ways to live life consciously, and you have to wonder, how conscious is the rest of the world living their lives? And I'm not even talking about the people. I'm talking about the animals. I'm talking about the various other species that we share this, they say, big blue marble with. I'm wondering how they do it and what we can learn from them. Well, not necessarily going to be taking us in that specific direction, but my guest today, Christine Agro, who has written 50 Ways to Live Life Consciously, is going to share with us ways to do that. We already know the hundreds of thousands of ways, Christine, to live life unconsciously. That's pretty much done. Welcome to our program, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you so much for having me here. I'll go the animal way and talk about them.
All right. And I'm curious as to how you found these 50, and I'm sure it's not just limited to these 50.
You know, it's not limited to 50. I go with the flow. I go with the guidance of my spirit. And as I was writing the book, it turned out to be 50. And I was like, okay, 50 is fine. And what it is 8 tools to help you live life consciously, and then 42 concepts to reflect on. And the concepts came, again, they just came, I just started thinking about things, things that we can do to help us wake up, and they just came, and they came in the order that they came, and that's the order that they're in the book. So I've had people say to me, why didn't you alphabetize them? It's like, because they didn't come alphabetized.
That's right. And sometimes you have to go with the way they came. I mean, it would be nice to sort them and in a wonderful database, and people can rearrange them any way they want. But, you know, sometimes the universe just, it gives them to you and says, hey, this is the way you lay them out.
Well, and I think there's meaning in the way that they came. I think it's meaning for each individual. Because I do think, you know, each of our lessons, our lives are, they're very different. They're very unique. And I think one of the most important pieces of information in the book is that at the core of everything that goes on in our life, what's there is, what lesson are you trying to learn? Because every relationship dynamic, everything that we experience, it is actually wrapped up or revolves around that question. So when you start to look at your life from the perspective of, what am I trying to learn here, then things really start to shift, and you can really step out of all of the drama and the chaos. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about our relationship to an individual or our relationship to our community or our relationship to the world as a whole. There's always a lesson. So it's very interesting, and I think that's what really helps us step into consciousness. And you know, it's funny you said, you know, there's you know, a zillion ways that we live life unconsciously, but we're not conscious of those.
Kind of an interesting irony, isn't it? Well, I know that one of the thoughts that came to my mind when you were talking about alphabetizing and putting them in the order in which you received them, it's like, did Moses put them in alphabetical, the Ten Commandments in alphabetical or numerical order? No, I don't think so. He put them down the way he got them.
I think they were in numerical order. I think they were 1 through 10.
Well, I know they were 1 through 10, but I'm just trying to make a point here. In any event, it is most interesting, and I have to wonder, and for this just comes to mind because, well, it's the age in which we live. You know, I'm sitting here with you talking, and I am, as we speak, I have, because I forgot to do this, put my phone on mute. But a lot of people are using their technology at the same time they're doing other things. Now, there are people who are arguing the point that, well, we can retrain the human brain to multitask, but is that what the brain was designed to do? Now, the brain is already multitasking by virtue of the fact that it's running a lot of involuntary functions, you know, 24/7. But that's a whole different thing. You're talking about, that's the way it was set up. But when you're talking about the conscious mind, living consciously, can we really afford to multitask? Is that something that's a part of this?
Well, I mean, I think the mind, the brain is so fascinating to me because, you know, of course, we know that we don't use, you know, even a fraction of the capacity of the brain. And I keep looking at technology and I see it as the thing that is in some ways unlocking a lot of the power of the brain that we haven't tapped into. But when it comes to living life consciously and using our technology, you know, I think the question is, you know, are you aware? Are you conscious? So if you're sending a text while you're in the middle of a conversation and you're also, you know, doing something on some other gadget that you have, how much of any of that are you actually aware of, or are you just sort of autopilot doing things and you don't really have the full awareness or full embrace of what it is that you're doing? It drives me crazy to see people texting while they're in the middle of a conversation. But I just finished reading a really interesting book. I'm actually reviewing it. It's called Eye Disorder. And I have to laugh because the title makes perfect sense when you see it, but when you say it, it's like, what, you're talking about glaucoma? Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, really.
No, but they're talking about, it's by Dr. Larry Rosen, and he's talking about, he's a psychologist, and he's talking about, you know, internet, technology disorders. And he, you know, he was a fascinating book. I mean, he's talking about the, you know, people having their phones on the table 24/7, always there, always checking, you know, every 2 seconds, every 5 seconds, every 15 minutes, whatever it is, it's like this urge or this impulse. And that, you know, that to me is not, that's not conscious. You know, that's obsessive. That's sort of a trigger. And so I think, you know, my take on everything is that I think we can do everything with consciousness or we can do everything without consciousness. And I think technology is a big part of that. You know, I think if we use technology, it's great. If technology is using us, it's not so great.
Right. Exactly. I do find it interesting how all of this is kind of coming together. And I think I have to relate to you. And well, it's not so much a story, but something that I saw on the internet the other day that I was led to. And I was watching this video that had to do with being the need for the human being to be important. Now, this has nothing to do with ego, but it has everything to do with belonging. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if people who are not focused, who are not living their lives consciously, as much as they can from moment to moment, hour to hour, day to day, if they feel like, I mean, maybe the technology, and this could actually be one of the ailments that this author is talking about, is the fact that this is the only way that an individual can actually feel as though they're important to other people. You go to Facebook, I have 562,000 friends, mm-hmm. or, you know, or likes, or this, which, mm-hmm. you know, and between you, me, and everybody listening, I had to disable my Facebook page because mm-hmm. I don't have the time.
Yeah.
I just don't have the time. Mm-hmm. I don't even tweet anymore. I mean, I was kind of putting that stuff up. I'd have to hire somebody right. to do those. I have too much going on in my life. And it kind of goes to what you were saying before about the phone. And now, granted, I have my phone by the bedside because I need to be kept apprised of what's happening with the radio station that I'm operating. But if that weren't the case, I'd probably turn it off, mm-hmm. you know, for periods of time. So I'm wondering how important being important is in the light of living consciously.
Yeah, well, I think that you know, what you're talking about, it is what I talk about in the book, about the best gift that I think we can give ourselves is learning to validate ourselves. You know, learning to know that we are worthy and of value from within, in and of ourselves, without having anyone to tell us that. Because what happens is, whether it's Facebook or it's your partner or it's a friendship, if you're in this position where you need someone else to tell you that you're good or that you're lovable or you're of value, you're actually giving away your power, because in order to receive that validation externally, you have to give something in return. Everything is an exchange of energy. And so that exchange of energy is, you know, you have to give up some element of yourself in mm-hmm. order to receive that external validation. And I know with children, I have an 8-year-old, he'll be 8 next week, and, you know, early on, it's so easy as parents to say, I think there's different kinds of parents. I think, you know, in our generation, it was sort of a hard knocks, like learn the hard way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and then I think, you know, my generation of parents, we went sort of the opposite swing, and there's a lot of encouragement, and everybody gets a trophy, and, you know, that whole dynamic. And I started recognizing with my son very early on that, you know, I'd be like, oh, I'm so proud of you. And I was like, no, you know, I stopped myself, and I was like, you know, he needs to be proud of himself. Mm-hmm. So I shifted it, and I started saying to him, you know, you must be really proud of yourself. He'd be like, yeah, I am. I'm really proud of myself. Mm. You know, and just in that one conscious piece of recognizing that if I continue to tell him how proud I am of him, it becomes about what he receives from me. It becomes about, you know, him feeling good about himself because I'm telling him that I'm proud of him.
Yeah.
And it just shifts everything. I mean, I still tell him that I'm proud of him. I don't withhold that.
Sure.
But the key is to, I think especially, is to get children to validate themselves. I mean, there's a horrific statistic. 80% of school fights are now girl on girl. And they're girls fighting with each other. And a lot of it is tracked back to the popularity of girl-on-girl YouTube fight videos. They get, you know, hundreds of thousands of hits. And there's a whole other group of videos going around where young girls go on YouTube, they video themselves, and they say, I don't think I'm pretty. Do you think I'm pretty? And then, of course, you know, all these trolls come out and say the most horrendous things.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, and I look at it and I'm like, God, these girls, they, and it's not just the girls, but you know, for me, a lot of my work is about empowering women and girls. And I'm like, oh, they just need to learn to value themselves. And you can learn it. You know, I learned it. You know, jealousy comes from not valuing yourself. And I have a double Scorpio, so jealousy comes, you know, I come by it naturally. So, but I was able to really shift it by learning to, you know, really just love who I am and know that, you know, if somebody doesn't like me, it's okay.
Yeah. I've used the analogy of a chocolate cake on the kitchen counter. And you are that chocolate cake. And I come upon this chocolate cake, and I like chocolate cake as a rule. But not today. Now, is that a reflection on the cake? No. It's a reflection on my desire to have the chocolate cake today or tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. Or I prefer white to dark chocolate cake.
Right.
Or, you know, and so on and so on and so on. But the cake isn't the issue in that sense. It's what I want or need at a given point in time. And so I try to use that with people and say, hey, you know, you're the chocolate cake and you have nothing to do with anybody else's decision to like or dislike you. Now, this movie that's come out on bullying, which I have not seen, and I don't know that I'm going to see it or not because I went through that as a kid growing up.
Yeah.
There was a point about 4 or 5 years ago when this subject came up, and I thought, my God, I thought we'd outgrown this. I thought we'd moved beyond it. And then I realized, oh, that's right. The kids that I grew up became parents and had more kids, and they perpetuated the cycle.
Well, and there was an interesting article that I read. It was quite some time ago. I would say within the last year, though. And it was about, it's not funny, how the mean girls in high school oftentimes grow up to be the mean women in the retirement home.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's like it doesn't go away. They were talking about bullying in the retirement homes. And, you know, this one woman was talking about her experiences and how she was just terrified, you know, terrified to go to the dining room because so-and-so, you know, was a bully.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go away. And you know, bullying really, again, comes down to self-validation. You know, bullies are generally people who don't feel confident in who they are, and so they get that confidence by tearing somebody else down.
Yeah.
You know, by breaking down the people around them. And you know, it's self-validation is an amazing gift. I mean, I've watched so many students and clients shift their reality, their relationship to their siblings, to their parents, just by really embracing the love of themselves. And but that takes me back to, you know, what lessons we're trying to learn, because that I find fascinating, because, you know, we think, you know, why do I have these challenging people in my life? And if you can start to pick apart what it is that you learn by being in this relationship with this person, you can oftentimes break free of all of it just by having that conscious awareness. And in the book, I go through that. That's what the tools are. You know, they are how you get to do that. And they're not difficult. The tools are so simple. They're things like, you know, really reflecting on on a particular dynamic in a relationship, and writing down your thoughts about it, writing down what works, writing down what doesn't work, writing down what frustrates you, and eventually coming to a one-word or a couple-word statement that really tells you what it is that you're working on. And I swear, as soon as you have that awareness, it's like, okay, my mother never says a nice thing to me because my lesson in this relationship is to learn to speak my truth or to stand my ground or to value myself regardless of what somebody else thinks.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that kind of awareness just changes everything in our life.
It's getting to that awareness that seems to be the hardest part, because we don't want to give up the way that we are. It's not necessarily that we like the way that we are. It's that we have been that way for so long, and to be another way would be so foreign to us. It's like you're comfortable. You've become comfortable. Even as a bully, you've become comfortable in the adult body as a bully.
I think that I think it's the unconsciousness, and I really mm-hmm. do think as soon as you start to look at life with this perspective of what is it all about, what am I doing, what am I working on, you can't go backwards. You know, you can't all of a sudden then say no. I'm not going to step back. You know, because you just keep getting poked, and I do think that. You know, the energy on the planet is shifting. We're really moving into a new way of being.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the fighting and struggle and challenges that are on the planet right now, you know, are the old dynamic trying to keep hold its ground. And the new dynamic coming in is it doesn't fight, it just is. And it's just evolving and opening and flowing. Mm. But this old dynamic just, it's afraid. And it's interesting because I talk about it in terms of the old dynamic being a masculine principle. And it doesn't mean that it's male or man or
right.
manly. It's a masculine principle. The energy dynamics of it are defined throughout history as being masculine energies. And then the new energy coming in is a feminine principle. And when I look at this masculine principle, it is, it's that linear nature. It's we've got to prove it before we believe it. It's very controlling. It tends to control through fear. And so as this feminine principle is coming in, and really opening things up, I see that in this masculine principle, it's like our own internal struggle with the mind and the ego. And that's another thing that I talk about in the book, is about letting your spirit guide you, letting your spirit lead, because our higher self, that aspect of us that is not connected, hopefully will be connected, but for many isn't physically connected to the physical body, that has what our plan is, you know, why we're here, what we're working on, what we want to do, what we want to change. And it's the physical aspect of ourselves that gets wrapped up in the mind and the ego that lead us off in directions that don't support us.
Yeah.
You know, it takes us down a road. And I see that. I look at like the microcosm, which is us as individuals and what we work on. And then there's always this sort of macrocosm, greater, larger replica out there
mm-hmm.
of what's going on. And so, I mean, that's, you know, that's sort of the metaphysical aspect of how I see things. You know, I'm always looking at it from what are we working on and how and why, and I find it fascinating.
It is very interesting. We're going to talk more about it as we continue. I'm Richard Dugan. We're talking with Christine Agro, her book, 50 Ways to Live Life Consciously. The website is theconsciousliving.com, theconsciousliving.com. We're linked to her website as well. So you just go to richarddugan.com, click on Christine Agro, and boom, away you go. And we are going to be back in just a moment.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Oh, and we are back here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. And we are talking now with Beth McDonald. She is our astronomical and astrological assignment editor. We're going to get back to Christine in just a moment, talking more about 50 ways to live life consciously. But now, as we have told you over the course of the last few weeks, we are going to do somewhat of an in-depth sort of look at the signs that we are in at the time of the Western Zodiac. And today we're going to talk about the sign of Taurus, April 21st, which happens to be today, through May 20th. And Beth, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Richard. It's good to be back.
Yes, indeed. And we're going to talk a little bit about all of this. And, of course, the constellation and just the basic information that we have here to share is the Bull, and ruled by various planets, Venus, I guess, and Earth is the element. And there are also some, and this was one of the things that we were talking about in the last few weeks, having to do with not just the attributes, like the positive traits of Taurus, you know, very sensitive, loves beauty, harmony, balance, material things, a hard worker, et cetera, but also those traits that are encapsulated even within our DNA. And I know that you had told me that you had done some, you were aware of some research or study that had been done along those lines?
I'm not sure what you're...
Well, we were talking about the various traits, and of course the planets are where they are. Taurus has its characteristics for the individual, right?
Right.
And then I had asked you about parents, grandparents, ancestors who have had different signs. And as we get Aunt Alice's ears and Uncle Fred's nose and Father John's temperament and mother's kindness and turned in feet and so on and so forth, you know, I often wondered about the spiritual characteristics and even astrological characteristics that we might inherit. And
when any astrologer, me or anybody, will do extensive work with a family, you know, parents and the children, grandparents, you know, that sort of thing, it is very obvious. There is pretty much always a theme, a recurring theme or series of themes regarding signs and planets.
So there's.
I think I shared with you that in my family, the energy of Cancer, the
financials,
like home and family and stuff, is really, really important. But every family is different, and it can be a very helpful adjunct to whatever, you know, family depth work, family unity that you're trying to create through psychotherapy or religion or both, you know. Factoring the astrology in can also be very, very helpful.
Tell us a little bit more about Taurus and its, not only its influences, but a Taurus and their temperament and so forth, and what they kind of can sort of expect on a general basis throughout life.
Well, what I love about Taurians is they tend to be very dependable, very reliable people. In general, unless there are extenuating indicators or circumstances, I really, on a personal level, appreciate their steadfastness. Now, all Earth signs will have this, but Taurus is particularly strong at that. When they say they're going to be there at 6 p.m., they'll be there at 6 p.m. You know, they're very
punctual,
reliable, dependable. You know, they mean what they say, and they say what they mean.
Mm.
And that's, you know, talk about consciousness, conscious living.
You know,
that's very, very elevated, and I appreciate that. They also have just a natural way of making things pretty, making things beautiful, making things more harmonious. Like, you want certain people in your world to have a lot of Taurus. For example, as a woman, I want my hairdresser to have a lot of Taurus. You know, I want my stylist to have a lot of Taurus, my interior decorator, you know, people that I'm hiring to make things pretty really ought to know how to do this.
Do you ever do that? Do you ever, when you're looking for someone to do whatever it is?
Oh, very much.
You actually use their chart?
Yeah.
And said, you know, I'm sure you're fine at what you do, however, or
I'll
I
ask,
like, Yeah.
You know, it's like, when's your birthday? Have you ever had your chart done? What do you know about this or that? I even worked with a financial planner once who, knowing my profession, she told me straight up, I'm a Capricorn, I'm good at this.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. People have a way, if they know, you know, when they're talking to me, of just bringing it up. It's like, oh, by the way, I'm a Scorpio, or, you know.
And to bring up more with Beth, go to BethMcDonaldConsulting.com and 9630842. And next week we'll talk a little bit more about Taurus in some other areas as well. As we, I still am flabbergasted that here we are at the 21st already, the 2012 Earth Day celebration as well, and we're going to be in 2013 before you know it.
Well, be here now.
I will. Thank you, Beth. We'll talk to you next
Thank
week.
Thank you. Okay.
And
bye now.
Bye-bye. And this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay right where you are.
Professional glassblower and craftsman Saul Alcaraz of Santa Barbara Art Glass can design and create a custom piece for you, your home, or your business. And here's all you need to do.
All I need to know is the colors of your house. I'll take it from there. I can make your salad bowl, your plates, your drinking glasses, your wine glasses, your pitcher, cups, and a chandelier to finish it up. And they will look really beautiful on your table. And obviously, we gotta have the right sizes. Send me the metalwork, the hardware, where it's gonna sit. I mean, I have dedicated thousands and thousands of hours. I've been playing with the glass for 21 years. I specialize in antiques. That's my forte.
Can people come by the shop unexpected?
I like it when they come in unexpected, and they'll probably bring some good energy in. Our studio, it's at 706 East Mason Street, two blocks from Miltas in Santa Barbara.
How do people get a hold of you?
Check out my website, sbrglass.com, or call us at 805-965-1541.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
Till I got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Well, close. Very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the freshest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you so much for joining us as we continue talking with Christina Aglo, and she has a book, 50 Ways to Live Life Consciously. And a little side note from our last segment with Beth McDonald, your son is a Taurus.
He is a Taurus, and I just love him to death. He's everything that a Taurus is. When I work with parents, I talk to them about the importance of understanding, you know, consciously understanding their children from many perspectives. And I think astrology offers such a great tool and gift for understanding children. As an example with him, when we go someplace, his security isn't centered around how are we going to get there, how long is it going to take, where are we going to stay, what's it going to look like. His security is centered around what are we going to eat, when are we going to eat, how are we going to eat, and where are we going to eat. And that's a Taurus. They love food. You know, his world is just centers around food. But he's funny with this, you know, say what you say and mean what you say. We went and got his haircut, and it was supposed to be a trim, and he came out with an incredibly short do. And the hairdresser said to him, "So what do you think?" And he looked at her and he said, "Well, when I go home, I'll wet it down and maybe I'll like it then." Thought, oh, my God. Isn't that what everyone thinks when they go to the hairdresser but never says?
Oh, my. I don't have to worry about that anymore because I have a shaved head. So there you go.
Right.
there was a gentleman that came in, so I hadn't seen him for a while, and I went over, hey, it's great to see you. It's and it's wonderful because you still have all your hair. And he just, he's in his 50s or 60s, and he just laughed. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, because I don't. So, yeah, but it is interesting and why we can't say what we mean. I mean, I was sharing with you before we went on the air about how it is, why it is that, that when men are talking about what women have said, especially, you know, in their relationships, you know, well, she said this to me. Well, but she didn't mean that. Well, why didn't she say what she meant? I mean, why can't she just say? And then, of course, you know, it kind of perpetuates all those wonderful stereotypes. And some would say, well, Richard, you're living in a very naive world, you know.
Well, I think the part of that is too, what I was talking about before, earlier in the show about the masculine principle and the feminine principle. I do think that, you know, so I know I'm generalizing, but I think that men, they do embody the masculine principle energies naturally, and women tend to embody the feminine principle energies naturally. And of course, there are, you know, there are people who embody the other, but the, you know, when you think about the masculine principle being this linear kind of dynamic, mm-hmm. and the feminine principle is more like a spiral. So it's like, do you know how oftentimes, well, this happens in my relationship, my husband and I will be in a conversation, and then maybe even the next day, I'll pick up the conversation from where we left off, and he has no idea what I'm talking about. None. And that's that, the spiral energy, mm-hmm. is I can touch back on anything, really, because I'm on a spiral and I can see it. I can look back and go, oh, pick that up and continue with it. Where if you're on the linear line going forward, you can't go back and get that. You've got to start. Oh, yeah. You know, and I think that that's, you know, that's a big part of it. And but it's a very funny thing in our relationship, because my husband's just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
And that has never, ever happened to me. No, it has never happened. No, I'm but I will say this much. When my wife today says something like that, and then, of course, again, as you say, picks it up, whether it's later that day or the next day or what have you, rather than saying, what are you talking about, mm-hmm. which will take you down a road you don't really want to go, because that's kind of, you know, then the person, then she becomes defensive.
Right, right.
I start to process, okay, what did she just say? And try to piece it together with, where we were probably talking about this 10 minutes ago or 10 hours ago.
Right.
And I can usually pick up the train. I can usually pick up the train of thought.
Right.
You know?
But I think, you know, from a conscious living perspective, it's great if each of us can recognize,
yeah.
that within ourselves. Right, so not for you to recognize it within her, but for her to recognize it, because, like, I know it. I'm really well aware of it. So when I see that look on his face, mm-hmm. I know, oh, I just did it again.
I need,
you know?
To explain, yeah. And and quite honestly, I'm sure he's done it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Unconsciously, just picked it up. Because I've done that to my wife as well. I mean, this isn't a one-way street. Again, you know, we all do it, but it is stereotypically, and this is the thing that is so frustrating about stereotypes, stereotypically, you know, it's the woman that does those kinds of things, but guys do it too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, maybe because when my husband does it, I'm right there with him, because I can, you know, you normally it's not him sort of coming out of nowhere with a conversation.
Yeah.
I'm on it.
Let's talk a little bit about the 50 ways. Can you give us a couple of instances how we can live our lives more consciously? I know that one of them is not self-abuse by pinching or poking yourself every so often to wake yourself up. And, oh, I'm here.
Right.
I'm now. I'm here. I'm now. I'm here. I'm now. That I don't think is a good one.
So, well, in terms of the tools, I talked about, you know, the ability to validate yourself. That's a real big one. I think, though, in terms of the concepts, one of the ones that I love is the word nourish, because we can nourish ourselves in so many different ways, and we don't really consciously pay attention to that. We eat our food, we don't think about what we're eating, and it's not just about what we eat. It's about what we see, it's about what we hear, It's about the words that we use, the people that we choose to be around, the environment that we surround ourselves with. And if you really start to, like, the idea with the book is you can really use it however you want. You could flip to a page and read, you know, one of the 42 concepts towards the back and, you know, sort of reflect on that for the day or the week, or just see what you need by doing that. But you could also use it and spend, you know, a week or 2 weeks just focusing on one concept at a time. And let's say that you did take Nourish, you know, really being conscious of all of those things that I just mentioned. And that starts to shift things. Another one is, let me find another really good one here, speaking. You know, there's so many different aspects of how we speak, the way in which we speak. Are we speaking our truth? Are we speaking from a place that is not in present time with who we are? Do we use words that don't really reflect who we are? Are those out of date? You know, all of these little nuances that when you really start to think about them can help bring you into conscious awareness. I think celebrate is another really good one. We go through our lives moving so quickly and doing so much, but we seldom take the time to stop and celebrate. And, you know, how many things have you accomplished that you've just run right past and gone on to the next thing?
Yeah. It's, what flooding into my mind's eye is the image of me sitting at a console back in Phoenix in on November the 11th of 2000. I take that back, of 1999. And we had just completed a four-hour morning show with the host, and we had done everything that we wanted to do, and it went virtually flawless. And the program director walks in, reaches his hand across the console, and shakes my hand. I mean, how often does that happen in, you know, with your employer? Mm-hmm. And says, 4 stars. Mm. And I'm just so elated, not even by what he said, although I was greatly appreciative of that, but because I knew within myself how good that program was.
Right.
And we hit all the posts, and the host did his thing, and it was just fabulous. And I think I hung on to that maybe for, I don't know, maybe a good half of the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, saying, man, that was great. And I wasn't running around going up and down the street saying, boy.
I did a great show.
But I kept it inside and I pondered it and I let it kind of be there. And just, it's kind of like you see the sporting events, the championship games and or the lead up to the championship games and the team wins. And so what about the next game? Well, right. And a lot of times these guys will say, well, I am just going to enjoy this one right now. I will deal with the next game tomorrow. But right now I am in this moment with this celebration. We made it to the next level. We beat the other team. We played great. Nobody got hurt. That kind of thing. We don't do that in our own lives, even with the little things. And it is those little things that really make the difference, aren't they?
It really is. And, I think another concept from the book that I love is it's inner child. And I was reminded of it. My son and I, he had some time off, and I get to take my work wherever I go, which is the great thing about what I do. I can do it from anywhere. And so we drove down to Florida. And so I had some busy days, and he gets it. He's always really supportive and flexible with when I'm like, okay, I've got to do a radio show, or I've got a reading, I've got a class to teach. He's always great. But when I didn't have work to do, I let him set the tone. And so the one day he said to me, let's go in the ocean. And I don't like the ocean. It's like, okay. So we went in the ocean and it was wavy. And so I was sort of standing out a little bit, and he was sitting where the waves were breaking and they were hitting him. And he's like, come on, Mom, come on. So I went and I sat with him, and here we are, the two of us sitting in the ocean, letting the waves knock us over. And I was laughing and laughing. And it was one of those moments, even now it lightens my heart. Mm. You know, we forget to be childlike. You know, we forget to laugh. We forget to play. And I see it, the school that he goes to is, it's a progressive school. Everything is interactive. They really learn by playing. And there's so many opportunities for the parents to get involved in that if they want to. And so many of the parents can't do it. They're really uncomfortable. And I think that if we can allow ourselves to tap into that energy, it really does change things.
Yeah. Two ocean stories of mine along those same lines. We were talking about bullying in the first segment of our program, and two girls in school, in grade school, were on this trip. I was on the same trip with them to Huntington Beach, and I was standing out for the very first time in the ocean, and a wave came along, and I got the undertow, and I started to be dragged out to sea. And the next thing I know, these same two girls who had bullied me throughout school had grabbed me and pulled me back to shore. Mm-hmm. Well, I couldn't have been that bad. I couldn't have been that awful. They could have let me go.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then more recently, when we moved here to Santa Barbara, I had gotten off of work one day, and the location was out in Goleta, close to the Goleta Beach, and I drove down there. I walked down to the water, and I didn't even bother taking my shoes off. I just started walking in the surf up and down the beach and splashing around. And I just having a great time and going, my God, I'm here. I made it. And I'm working and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I have, and just, you know, soaking it in while getting soaked at the same time. And it was fabulous. I didn't worry about, oh my gosh, I'm going to take all this sand back in the car and then back up the hill and da 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 da. It was just wonderful. And I've had a couple of experiences like that in recent times where I'm just sitting there and just, I get my chair and I get out there on the sand and I just sit there and listen.
So what does it do for you when you do that?
Well, for one, it slows me down. You know, I hear a lot more of the chatter. Oh, I need to check my cell phone for emails or phone messages or blah, blah, blah. And I let that kind of go by, and I'm watching the seagulls fly around and, even fly overhead. So I make sure I'm wearing my hat. But it's just a wonderful feeling of it's, there is a certain element of, the only word I can think of to use at this point is escape, but it feels comfortable. It feels good. It feels like I think the word nourishing. And there's nobody else around.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, in the end, the conscious living is really about seeing our lives and being in it, really, you know, being an active participant in it. I think, you know, even just in saying those words, you know, people who hear that oftentimes will stop and realize they're not. Mm. Right? It's that, like, a moment of, like, oh, right. And it's like, you know, I talk about in the book, the moment that I woke up, I was walking down the street. I was working in Denver, Colorado. I had a really good job. I was happy. You know, I wasn't unhappy. I was walking down the street and I had this moment. It was like, this is the strangest thing. I thought, how did I get here?
Yeah.
How did I become this person? And that's when everything changed for me. It was like, I had been sleeping up until that point, and all of a sudden, and like I said, you know, it wasn't a bad life. You know, I was living, it was a good life, but it wasn't my life. I don't really know whose life it was.
I've looked in the mirror and I've said, who the heck are you?
Yeah.
I don't feel like you look, and I didn't look that terrible. I didn't look sad or upset or anything. It's just because I feel like that 8-year-old or 10-year-old or what have you. Before we wrap up our program, who is Christine Aglo?
Who am I? Wow, I'm complicated, but I'm very simple.
Okay, enough with the Alanis Morissette lyrics.
I am someone who really I think embraces who they are. I'm a clairvoyant. I believe in the body's natural ability to heal. I'm a naturopath. I work with herbs. All of it informs who I am and what I do, and who I am informs all of that. So I can't really figure out where it started. You know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Mm. But, and of course, I'm a mom, which is something that is so important to me. I love being a mother. It's such a gift.
And what do you hope to or want to achieve with the work that you're doing?
For the people who it resonates with, I want to help them and support them in living their life consciously. I don't believe that my information is the end-all be-all for everybody in the world, but I do know that for those that it resonates with, it can make a huge difference, and their lives can be something that they choose, that they can begin to create the life that they want, and that it's magical when you do that. And I know it because that's what I've done. Mm-hmm. And so if it's what somebody wants and it resonates with them, I so want to support people in that journey.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are very thankful that you've shared your time and your story with us here on the program, and want to have people get in touch with you. What would be the best way to do that?
I think the best way, if they want to contact me directly, it would be Christine@ChristineAgro.com. They can find the book on Amazon. I think that's probably the easiest thing. You know, they can pop by the Conscious Living Guide, which is actually a membership site that is designed to really help people. And I work with you, you know, weekly and monthly to help support the process.
I like the caricature on that page, too, by the way. That's very good.
Thank you.
All right. And so for those who are so inclined, we encourage you. Okay, then that didn't take me where I wanted to go. 50 Ways to Live Life Consciously is the title of the book. Christine Agro is our guest. And Christine, again, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day, especially on a Saturday, away from your 8-year-old and your husband to share with us. And I encourage you to get out in the ocean more often.
I loved it. And thank you so much for letting me be here. It's been so great. Thank you.
And again, the website is, the one we want to give out here is theconsciousliving.com. You can also email Christine@ChristineAgro.com. And we encourage you to check out her information. We are linked to her website, so you can do that very easily. You can also listen to this program as often as you like on our archives page. It'll be up and available shortly. And we encourage you to tune in every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time for this program as we stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com and newspress.com. We're rebroadcast Sundays at 2 p.m. Pacific time on a2zen.fm. And until next Saturday at this same time, 3 p.m. Pacific time, I'm Richard Dugan, your host, encouraging you to send me an email. Richard@richarddugan.com. That's Richard@richarddugan.com. So join us, and until next Saturday, love to all.